agenda session. Counselor Filipovich, if you just want to read in the ordinance that is tabled under your committee.
Thank you, President Hobbs. Resolution 679, designating snow emergency routes. And I believe this is, we will be taking this off the table to vote with the corresponding ordinance further down in the agenda. Thank you.
Councilor Filipovich. Seeing no counselors in the queue, Councilor Anderson.
Thank you, President Hobbs. Resolution 743, distributing the estimated 2020 hotel, motel, and food and beverage tourism taxes.
Councilor Anderson, seeing no counselors in the queue, we'll move on to Councilor Forsman. Hold on.
Thank you, President Hobbs. Resolution 760, confirming the appointment of Maria Jose Gomez Quiano to the Energy Plan Commission. Resolution 761, confirming the appointment of Fosam Faucham to the Energy Plan Commission. Resolution 762, approving proposed specifications for the new civil service classification of signal maintenance worker and specifying contract benefits for same.
Councilor Forsman, seeing no counselors in the queue, Councilor Filipovich, back to you. There you go.
Thank you, President Hobbs. Resolution 757, resolution authorizing the purchase of packaged steam to hot water energy transfer stations from Centrithium in the amount of $1,328,317.17. Resolution 759, resolution authorizing an agreement with Gussman and Moore Associates Incorporated for professional engineering services to convert buildings on Superior Street from a steam to hot water district energy system for an amount not to exceed $130,000. And resolution 766, authorizing a contract with Northern Horizon Solway Incorporated for a steam conversion system in the amount not to exceed $2,218,426.00. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Filipovich. Seeing no councillors in the queue, Councillor Van Nett, if you could read the items under your committee.
Thank you, President Hobbs. Resolution 758, authorizing the purchase of 6 2020 Ford Interceptors from 10 Board Motor Company in amount of $204,198.36. Resolution 767, resolution authorizing property city officials to accept a grant from the Department of Justice, Bureau of Justice Assistance in the amount totaling $897,596. And further authorizing an agreement with Jeffrey R. Maas, Ph.D., to perform independent research services and Center for Alcohol and Drug Treatment to provide treatment services for the project entitled 2019 Comprehensive Opioid Abuse Project.
Thank you, Councillor Van Nett. Councillor Anderson.
Thank you. Actually, I have questions. I'm just waking up. Sorry. To backtrack to the tourism tax resolution, if nobody has questions on Councillor Van Nett's.
I actually have a question on 758. Mr. Philby Williams, I probably answer you don't have at this point. I can follow up with Chuckman offline. But I'm just wondering if maybe it's more broad question on with the Energy Commission, if we look at purchasing, you know, hybrid police vehicles, interceptors, that would be gasoline and electric. I know that New York is engaged in that. Do you have knowledge if that committee, the Energy Commission, would potentially be a good fit at looking at that and pairing with maybe Mr. Benning on purchasing or?
President Hobbs, that will certainly fall under the purview of the Energy Commission. In this particular case, we're already committed to try and make sure that our next purchase of police vehicles in particular are hybrids for a variety of reasons. We weren't able to do it with this purchase, but we should be able to do it with subsequent purchases.
Fantastic. Thank you. Councillor Anderson, if you would like to, there you go.
Thank you, President Hobbs. Mr. Philby Williams, I'm curious on the tourism tax disbursements for 2020, particularly the new ones. I think the ITV Festival is pretty clear, but it's now called CCF, right? Cultural Catalyst Fest, or Content Festival. But I'm curious about the Duluth Area Family Y, Equilibrium 3, and the one for Zeitgeist. These are all new disbursements, and I'm just curious if you have any information about them.
Sure. President Hobbs, Councilor Anderson, the $75,000 is the cost to enhance the quality and duration of our summertime lifeguarding service out on Park Point, pursuant to valid concerns the community has expressed about our prior standard of service. Park Point itself hosts a disproportionate number of tourists, and as importantly, a disproportionate number of the folks who actually have needed to be rescued historically have been visitors to our community. Second, the Zeitgeist sum is in support of a bike share program. Each of the bike share stations cost about $10,000. This $30,000 will provide for three. I believe Zeitgeist is seeking additional funding for up to five. And on Equilibrium, I'd like to call on our budget manager, Jen Carlson, if I might.
President Hobbs, Councilor Anderson, the Equilibrium project is for a marketing and signage campaign through the Twin Ports Interchange. And so one of the areas in the city that will be highly affected by that project will be the Lincoln Park area. And so Equilibrium plans to use this funding to support encouraging tourists to still go to the craft brewery district to get some signage so people know they're still open, and really promote transportation and tourism into that area where the Twin Ports Interchange will be going on.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Anderson. Councillor Filipovic.
Thank you, President Hobbs. And if this is an appropriate time to kind of tag along on the tourism tax questioning, I do have a question or a couple questions. One, the Canal Park trolley, it looks like that has been determined to be discontinued or not be funded in this for 2020.
President Hobbs, Councillor Filipovic, I'll ask Budget Manager Jen Carlson to speak to that.
President Hobbs, Councillor Filipovic, if you remember when the DTA proposed their maximum tax levy, they built that $55,000 into their tax levy, so it will be continued. It's just going to be funded through their levy.
Okay. I did forget about that, so thank you very much. And then the undesignated fund balance, we had one of $65,200 last year and proposed $97,500. Is that what is that for, and why would we have that undesignated fund balance?
President Hobbs, Councilor Filipovic, we always try to work in an undesignated fund balance for things like emergencies, if collections don't come in as anticipated. This past year, you'll remember, in 2019, the council approved two resolutions, one for Spirit Mountain Snow Guns, another for the ITV Fest. Both of those were funded using that undesignated fund balance. So we always try to build in that undesignated fund balance.
Okay. And it looks like that's less than 1% of the total that we anticipate, correct?
That is correct.
Thank you.
Councillor Filipovic, Councillor Forsman.
Thank you, President Hobbs. Similar to the tourism tax questions, the first question I have is I recall Friends of Duluth Public Golf had submitted an application last year, and it doesn't look like they submitted one this year. So I just wanted to make sure that I have that right.
Councillor Hobbs, President Hobbs, Councillor Forsman, that is correct.
Okay. And then I was just curious because I've seen it in the news and I've heard a little bit about it, but I see that there was a request for $100,000 from the Duluth Airport Denver flight. And I was curious if there are other pots of money that's being looked at, or how we're going about trying to fund some of those initiatives. If you have that today, and if you don't, that's okay.
President Hobbs, Councillor Forsman, that will be funded. We have the flexibility to fund it either in 2020 or 2021, and so we will be pushing that down to 2021.
Okay,
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Forsman. Seeing no other councillors in the queue, Councillor Anderson, could you please read in for Councillor Westerlund?
I have another screen here. Okay. Item 14, Resolution 707, authorizing proper city officials to accept a $380,000 grant from the state of Minnesota for the Lake Superior Zoo. Resolution 763, authorizing an agreement with Rachel Contracting Incorporated for the purchase of stone materials for the 2020 Canal Park Rehabilitation Project in the amount of $4,851,447.50. And I have the mic, if I may. I'm just curious. So there's a big chunk of money here for the stonework for Canal Park. I'm assuming that is that coming from federal funds, or where are those funds coming from, please?
President Hobbs, Councillor Anderson, these are stones for phase three of our mostly FEMA and Minnesota Homeland Security funded restoration of the Lake Walk. There may be an increment of the final cost that will be the city's responsibility, but most of the cost will be incurred by the state and the federal government.
Thank you, Councillor Anderson. Seeing no councillors in the queue, Councillor Russ, if you could read in and the item under your...
Ordinance 54 is an ordinance amending the official zoning map of the City of Duluth to reclassify property at 2215 South Street from mixed-use commercial to mixed-use land and waiving size and height requirements.
Cypress.
Thank you, President Hobbs. I do have several questions for Ms. Moses about this. I've been reviewing the staff report and reviewing the UDC with regard to the MUP, and just several questions where it's not clear to me whether the code, whether the ordinance is consistent with the code. So I just want to ask these questions. If you don't have the answers now, I'd be happy to get some clarification as to whether I'm missing something. So the first one has to do with the minimum lot size. According to Section D of the MUP section of the UDC, it lists two requirements for MUP, and one is it has to have a certain base zoning, which this does. And then it says it must have a minimum lot size of 2 acres, and the ordinance would waive that minimum lot size of 2 acres. However, I don't see anywhere in the code where there's any authority to waive that minimum 2 acre lot size. The ordinance references section F1, where it says the development standards of the base zone district may be varied or waived by an MUP plan. I see no reference anywhere in the code to us having any authority to waive the 2 acre minimum for an MUP rezoning. So I'm just wondering, am I missing something? Because if you can point to that language, that would be helpful.
Councillor Cypress, you did mention the two modifications that the applicant was requesting as part of this. And the section that is under development standards that you referenced does talk about requirements being able to be waived. This was in consultation with our legal staff that we said, you know, how do you think this applies to some of those base requirements of the MUP district? And he said, you know, when city council is passing an ordinance, that you would have the leeway to be able to do that.
Okay.
That's what we move forward under, and perhaps legal could chime in more or research it further if you need to.
Yeah, I would prefer for somebody looking this more, because as I read it, it says the base zone district standards can be waived. I see no reference to the MUP zone standards being waived, where it says specifically 2 acres. And so if I understand correctly, MUP is not the base zone, correct?
The base zone district is mixed-use commercial.
Correct. So if anyone can point me to where we actually have authority to waive the minimum lot size 2 acres, that would be helpful, because I don't see it anywhere in the code. So that would be my first question. The second one, several questions have to do with height. One is if a discrepancy could be clarified. The staff report refers to the height being 66 feet. And the ordinance in the statement of purpose refers to the building height being 57.5 feet. And there's a discrepancy. And I think it's just important before we act on this that that discrepancy be clarified. There may be an explanation.
And that's one I can definitely look into for you. I'll have to get back to.
Also, with regard to height, the language of the ordinance says that we are first modifying the height requirement, which is allowed up to 20%. And then after modifying the height requirement, we're also then waiving the height requirement. And I can see how the code could be interpreted to mean that a modification and a waiving are different things. First we modify, then we waive. I just would like a little clarification on that point, because if the height requirement can be waived for any reason with no restriction, why do we then have other language that limits a height modification to 20%? And so if we could get clarification on the whether there is a distinction between a modification and a waiving, because if there is a distinction, I don't understand the intent of putting a limit on how much you can modify before you then waive. Does that make sense?
Councillor Cypress, can you tell me where it says, just so I make sure I'm looking at the right place,
right,
where
so
it says that we are
50,
modifying?
Yeah, table 5015, 7.1.
Oh, I thought you meant in the ordinance language.
No, this is in the, this
yes,
is.
Got it.
Okay. Right, but in the ordinance, actually, it says, in the statement of purpose, it says the MUP zone allows modification of 9 feet, allowing for 54 feet. Waiver sought to allow for a modification of 12.5 feet. So the statement of purpose says, first we're taking the maximum modification, and after having the maximum modification, we're then going to waive it entirely to allow another 12.5 feet. And it's just unclear to me what the intent of putting a limit on a modification is if you can then waive it entirely. So I'm questioning whether the intent of the code is being interpreted properly. And again, either you, Ernie Johnson might have some thoughts on that. And then the last one is section C says the applicant may only seek the modifications, including the height modification, based on a demonstration of how the proposal supports the purpose of the MUP district and the following desired MUP amenities. And I won't read the exact language, but if you read the purpose of the MUP zone and then you read the list of desired amenities, there's nothing in the staff report that gives any basis for modifying the height restriction. There's no reference to the purpose of the zone. There's no reference to the amenities. And so I would think that before we could consider a height modification, we would need to see the legal basis in the code for that referencing the purpose and the desired amenities. And so since that wasn't in the staff report, I would think it'd be important for the council to receive an explanation of the legal basis for the height modification. And to be honest, I'm looking at the proposal, it's not clear to me that the proposal is consistent with the purpose or the desired amenities. So if I'm misreading that and there is a way in which this project is consistent with the statement of purpose for this zone and the desired amenities, it'd be important, I think, for us to hear from staff how so, because I don't see it.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Cypress. Yeah, I think a lot of those do come back to the legal authority to do that, and we'll look into it and get back.
Great, thank you.
You, Councillor Cypress, seeing no other councillors in the queue, Councillor Filipovich, could you please read in item 17?
Thank you, President Hobbs. Ordinance 53, amending Chapter 48 of the Duluth City Code 1959 as amended to allow alternative forms of security and to alter the computation of security amounts, amending Sections 48-11 and 48-12 thereof.
Thank you, Councillor Filipovich. Seeing no councillors in the queue, Councillor Russ, we'll move on to you again, item 18.
Ordinance 51 is an ordinance amending the official zoning map of the City of Duluth to reclassify property west of the intersection of Jean Duluth Road and Riley Road from rural conservation to park and open space and rural residential.
Councillor Russ.
Thank you, President Hobbs. I don't know if Ms. Moses would have some information about this. I had a constituent who was at the first read of this ordinance and was concerned about the changes in use of land of the land there. Just wanted to confirm that we don't have a developer in line for this. Can you explain from planning's intention in changing the zoning?
Sure, Councillor Anderson. We've been working our way across the city doing rezonings in some of the areas where the future land use map, as adopted in our comprehensive plan, doesn't exactly match the current zoning. And so this particular area, it's merely going from one residential classification of rural conservation to rural residential. It does allow a lot size of 5 acres versus 10 acres, but that is consistent with the future land use map and then also the park space. So it's what we've adopted in the comprehensive plan, and so we're just working our way through and trying to implement that. But we haven't heard anything about development or anything like that.
And there are a couple of branches of the eastern branch of the Amity Creek in part of this land. The creeks, I'm assuming, would be protected through zoning and code?
Councillor Anderson, I can double check that if you would like. I'm assuming that they are a part of our protected shoreland area that does restrict development. I think that's a cold water stream, so you can't develop within 150 feet of it, and the shoreland area would stretch 300 feet on either side of the creek. But I will double check. There are some areas where minor tributaries might not be designated as a shoreland area, but we'll look into it.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Anderson. Seeing no other councillors in the queue, we will go back to Councillor Filipovich.
Thank you, President Hobbs. Ordinance 48, an ordinance amending Chapter 33 of the Duluth City Code 1959 as amended regarding snow emergencies, increasing the notice time requirement, extending the duration of designations, deleting requirements for non-snow emergency roads, and providing for designation of roads by resolution, amending Sections 33-97.1 and 33-97.2. And there is a motion to amend sponsored by Councillor Anderson. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Filipovich. Seeing no councillors in the queue, Councillor Anderson, if you could read for Councillor Westerlund again. Hold on.
I'd actually like to speak to the amendment.
On the snow emergency?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. And then.
Thank you. So just councillors, the amendment is addressing technical issues regarding the question of the naming of gender. And there's two different points in the ordinance that the city's attorney's office and the clerk's office have addressed to change this. And with the support of the attorney, we are encouraged to go ahead and pass this amendment. And because it's technical rather than substantive, we can leave the ordinance at a second read and go ahead and vote on it this coming week if the council agrees.
All right. Thank you, Councillor Anderson. All right. Councillor Forsman.
Thank you, President Hobbs. I appreciate you bringing that forward, Councillor Anderson, and I'm just throwing it out there that maybe at some point we could do a clean sweep of all of our ordinances to go about the same process and make sure that we're updating all of them, because I think it's important.
Councillor Anderson.
Councillor Forsman, President Hobbs, point well taken. And in fact, the city clerk and the city attorney's office are already sort of planning that action and looking at ways that it can be done efficiently and effectively for the good of all.
And then Councillor Anderson, if you'd like to read in for Councillor Westerlund.
Certainly, President Hobbs. Ordinance 46, an ordinance amending Chapter 24 of the Duluth City Code by adding a new Article 7 requiring a 5 cents charge for carryout bags as amended.
All right. Thank you, Councillor Anderson. I just have a question of actually Councillor Filipovich. Have you received your answer that you have sought yet? All right. Seeing no other councillors in the queue, Councillor Cypress.
Thank you, President Hobbs. This would be a question for Councillor Filipovich about whether Councillor Filipovich believes it's okay to move forward in the absence of that answer, and I'll ask the question this way. Ultimately, it's not our determination whether this is taxable or not, correct? It either is or it isn't. And it is the retailers who are potentially liable for that determination being made incorrectly. Is that correct?
President Hobbs, Councillor Cypress, I'm not a legal authority, but based on my past experience, that would be correct. I think that we should know that answer before we vote so we can inform or properly inform business owners should this pass, so they know at least from us, what that answer is. Just from my experience, I do think that this is a taxable thing, but I have not heard definitively from the Minnesota Department of Revenue on that point.
Thank you, Councillor Filipovich. I tend to agree with you that I do think we have an obligation if we adopt a policy that has an impact on business, that we at least be in a position to give them our best, you know, determination as to whether it's taxable. So I agree with you on that. I guess my question would be, is there any prospect, likelihood, strategy, plan, timeline for how we might get this answer? Because I think that one way or another, we want to be able to vote on this at some point. And I think it'd be helpful for councillors in the community to know whether we have some hope of having an answer to provide before we vote.
Councillor Cypress, I agree with that. I do want to kind of go back to a previous question that I did ask after my initial question about the taxability of this. And that is this kind of meaning of the pass-through charge. I'm still maybe not clear on what that actually means, because we're not passing the charge on to anyone. It's the stores are keeping that money. And so from my interpretation of what the ordinance is actually doing, we're setting a price floor, and there's no exemptions for sales tax or otherwise to exempt price floors from being taxable. So I would think that it would be prudent for us to change the language from a pass-through charge to a price floor, and having that language in the ordinance so it's clear. And then it would also be clear, I think, to all involved that this would be a taxable item.
Thank you, Councillor Filipovich. I've been meaning to have a more in-depth conversation with you about this, and perhaps we could, now that things are a little quieter, maybe we can find a time to have a chat about this. Would that you be amenable to that?
That would be appreciated. We can discuss that after this is done. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Seeing no other councillors in the queue, are there any upcoming business or questions or comments? Councillor Cypress.
Thank you, President Hobbs. I'd just like to inquire to my fellow councillors whether we believe we have a quorum for tomorrow's canvas. And the reason I ask this is that I can move around my schedule to be here if necessary, but if we have a sufficient number of councillors who tonight can commit that they'll be here tomorrow at noon, because of work reasons, it'd be better for me not to be here. So could I just ask how many people are going to be here at noon?
I can be here. Or Calmer, do you know if we have?
President Hobbs, I have not heard from anyone saying they are unable to attend.
And just to confirm, we need how many? So back. I can move my thing to 12:30 so that you don't have to. Okay, I will do that. I'll make sure I'm here.
President Hobbs, Councillor Cypress, is very much appreciated.
Okay. Thank you, everyone.
All right, seeing no other councillors in the queue, we will see those tomorrow. And then on Tuesday, remember, we don't have a meeting on Monday.